May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Francis Young, in case you don't know me, and I'm training to be a licensed lay minister here at St. Mary's. We've heard quite a lot this morning about the east end of this church, the area which in times past would have been known as the sanctuary, literally the holy place. But if you'd been sitting in this church 200 years ago, back in the 18th century, you would have seen behind me two boards behind the altar with the Ten Commandments written on them. In larger churches, that includes Ely Cathedral, the commandment boards would have been flanked by painted or carved figures of Moses and Aaron as a permanent reminder to the congregation of the Old Testament commandments. Now, in most places, including here at St. Mary's, the Victorians tore them down and destroyed them. But they can still be seen in many of Wren's churches in London. To us today, it may seem very strange that Christians in the 17th and 18th centuries decided to place the Levitical commandments physically and spiritually at the center of their churches. Surely, as Christians, we are under grace rather than under law. Surely we know that the observance of the law cannot make us holy. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Well, the passage of Leviticus that we heard this morning gives us an impossible challenge, doesn't it? We're asked to be holy as God is holy. Holiness, I would suggest, is one of those qualities that we instinctively know when we see it, but it's very difficult indeed to try and put it into words. We know when we've encountered a holy person. And if we've come close to God, we know what it means to say that God is holy. But away from those experiences of holiness, which for many people may be quite rare, holiness can start to get distorted and twisted up in our minds. We begin to think that holiness is something impossibly remote, impossibly distant from our lives. Something for God, something for angels, something for special people, not something for us. But there's an irony here, which is that a characteristic feature of truly holy people is that they don't think of themselves as holier than others. It's quite true that God is holier than we can possibly understand. No one is good except God alone, Jesus told the rich young man in Mark's gospel. And yet Jesus was also crystal clear that holiness is possible for ordinary people in everyday life. Indeed, Jesus' claim that holiness is possible without meticulous observance of traditions and commandments is at the very root of his conflict with the Pharisees that dominates the Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus sums up his approach to the commandments. And we know these words well. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when he said these words, Jesus was quoting from the book of Leviticus. Not a book of the Bible that we might readily associate with love, but I suppose that just tells us about our prejudices regarding the Old and New Testaments. The central set of commandments in Leviticus 19 don't seem all that difficult to obey. At least they're clear cut. Don't steal, don't lie, don't deceive, don't swear falsely, don't defraud, don't hold back wages, don't abuse the disabled, don't favour the wealthy, don't slander others, don't endanger someone's life. They are the sort of commandments that we could legislate for, and we would probably be quick to judge someone who broke them. A person's adherence to these commandments could be measured against their behaviour, and they're the sort of clear-cut commandments that the Pharisees loved. And the Pharisees were absolutely right to regard them as important. It's very important to remember that Jesus' argument was never that the Pharisees' beliefs were completely wrong, but that they'd got their priorities in the wrong order. But turn to the end of the list, and we find some more exacting commandments. Don't hate. Love your neighbour as yourself. Hate cannot be legislated against, even if we can forbid the behaviour that comes from it. And neither love nor loving behaviour can ever be required by law. When Jesus is critical of the law of Moses in the Gospels, it's not because he disagrees with the idea of a life lived according to God's rules. Instead, Jesus brings us the wisdom that rules can never cast out hate, and rules can never bring in love. It's not that the law is wrong, it's that the law is incomplete. But it's incomplete in a drastic way. Jesus identifies one commandment from Leviticus as the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love can be commanded. Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another at the Last Supper. But there is no way in which love can ever be enforced. By choosing this commandment as the greatest of all, Jesus was making a claim about holiness. Leviticus 19 begins with the words, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Or if you like, the shortened version that you see behind me. And it culminates in the greatest commandment. In fact, Jesus identifies this commandment not just as the greatest in the sense of the most important at the top of the list, but as the commandment that contains all the rest of the law and the prophets. In other words, to be holy as God is holy, I must love my neighbor as myself. The other commandments are guidance. They're the tracks provided to help me aim for the fulfillment of holiness. Now, I'm sure we're all aware that both the word love and the word holiness are words in constant danger of becoming woolly in our heads. They're words easily said, but lived out truly only with hard work and sacrifice. Because the message of Leviticus 19 is that becoming holy is a practical business for which we need to pull up our sleeves. My wife is always telling me to pull up my sleeves when washing up, and I never do. Contrary to popular opinion, being holy is not about floating 3 feet off the ground in a diaphanous white robe. And I think unless we're prepared to accept that holiness may look, sound, and smell pretty bad, then we're unlikely to recognize it, and we're even less likely to become it. Theologians speak of the process of becoming holy as sanctification, which literally means just becoming holy. It's often coupled with justification, the process of salvation, and of God making us right with him through Jesus' death on the cross. God does not require us to be holy to be saved. He requires only our free consent to salvation by the death of his Son. But that does not mean that holiness is unimportant. Getting on board the boat when you're in danger of drowning is obviously the most important thing. It's equally important to pull as many people into the boat as we can. But it doesn't take away the question of what happens when you're in the boat. The Christian life doesn't end when we've accepted Jesus as Lord. That's just the beginning. Some Christians make the mistake of treating salvation and holiness as priorities that are somehow opposed to one another. If you're really committed to evangelism, say some, you can't make holiness a priority because it's a luxury we don't have time for. Others say, if you're truly committed to holiness, well, you can't spend your time evangelizing the unchurched and the unholy because it will detract from your own focus on drawing closer to God. But it's quite clear when we look at the life of Jesus, our exemplar of a completely holy human life, that no such false dichotomies existed in his life. Jesus acts as though drawing people to God is part of holiness, not something opposed to it. So sanctification, the process of becoming holy, is what happens next in the Christian life. And just like justification, it's something achieved by the grace of God, not by any human effort. No human being can ever make him or herself holy, any more than she can make herself justified before God. But God presents us with a choice, after we've accepted Jesus as Lord, whether to cooperate with his sanctifying grace, or whether to ignore it, or even oppose it. With God, there is always a next step of the journey. Our natural human instinct is to sit down and survey the scenery, thankful, perhaps, to God for taking us this far, but certainly with no particular desire to accept further challenges. And God will not force holiness on us, any more than he forces salvation on us. God respects our freedom far more than we tend to respect the freedom of our fellow human beings. But he will drop us hints. He will lay a trail of breadcrumbs for us to follow, welcoming us to become more like him and more like his son. St. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God." That is, he has become our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. If we are in Christ, then holiness is the way set out for us and the next step on our Christian journey. Now, one form that this trail of breadcrumbs takes is the sort of commandments we find in Leviticus 19. We know that no following of commandments, even if they come from God, will ever make us right with God. And the following of commandments on their own makes no one holy. But for those who desire to be holy, for those who have accepted and taken on God's challenge, and therefore received his grace, the commandments trace out the lines of the kind of life we can lead within the holiness of God. And if we find that we fall away from the standard set by the commandments, we can be pretty sure that we're not on the path to holiness. So what we've learned this morning is that at the heart of the book of Leviticus, with its strong emphasis on rules and regulations, is a far more difficult message about love as the essential for holiness. We tend to think of rules as burdensome, but in reality, it's a great deal easier to observe rules than it is to love our neighbor. The following of rules can be measured, it can be seen, it can be assessed by others. Love cannot. Only we, deep in our hearts, know whether we're truly loving towards others. Throughout his teaching ministry, Jesus drew out this truth, and he challenged the Pharisees' failure to see the true message of their own law. So this Lent, don't forget God's commandments. Jesus never said we don't need them. Holiness is hard, dirty work sometimes. But remember that it is always the gift of God's grace held out to all who are justified in Christ. If we have acknowledged Jesus as our Lord and Savior, will we now close the door on his plan for us? Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.